Psalm 92. That's the one right after 91. And sometimes it comes just before 93. And yes, we do check. And even if we were doing the same psalm, we'd still be doing the same one together. Simply because maybe God's saying, pound them a little bit this morning with this knowledge. We don't know who wrote it. But the theme of it is to be thankful. Thankful for every day. Be faithful to every day. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, O Lord. I will sing at the joy of the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How profound your thoughts. The senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be forever destroyed. But you, O Lord, are exalted forever. For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will be perished. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured upon me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear up fruit in old age. They will still stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I heard it said this morning, let this sermon be not affected by anything from outside. These are your words, these are your thoughts, merely put through an amplifier. We thank you, Father, that we are able to be here. And we pray for those in faraway lands who take up a cause to meet on a Sunday morning in a room darkened just to worship, knowing that they could walk out and their life would be over. Father, remind us of how simple it is to sit here this morning and envelop ourselves in the Word, and let us be in thought and prayer of that, and ever more prayerful for those everywhere seeking you. In Jesus' precious name, all of His children said, Amen. So did anybody read the name of the sermon? Right down there in the bold print. Is it bold? Man, it's kind of bold. Not noise, but joyful. So this sermon, as you probably have figured out, is about noise. Now let me start it this way. Are you ready? I am a father, and I have two 12-year-old sons. You understand? Noise. You get the picture? Good. Sermon's over. Let's go. There is noise everywhere in my life. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. There are times I am thankful to be half deaf. There are times I'm not deaf enough. There are times when I listen to everything going on around me, and my family will tell you, I'll pray to the Lord. You ever seen that thing in the old Roadrunner cartoons? When the safe fell on Wile E. Coyote, right? Just as he was about to get the old Roadrunner, I have looked up to heaven and said, Lord, can you just drop a safe on me right now? Please. I can't hear any more of this. It's constant. All around me. And my sons, whom I love, had the nerve to say to me recently, when I was in the shop and I had a tractor running without the exhaust on, because that's not noise, they had the nerve to say to me, Daddy, you're making an awful lot of noise. Really? It's everywhere in our life. That buzz. But how do you approach it? See, I love bluegrass. I'm sure you know that by now. After how many years I've been here. And there are some people, That is the most horrible, gut-wrenching, lousy, ear-ringing. Why did you point it, Lori? See, I'm going to get you in trouble. They can't stand it. How in the world? And this is some things. How in the world can you listen to all that whining and singing through your nose and all that noise? Because it ain't noise. It's beautiful. You listen to that, it's powerful. It's from the heart. And yet, I'm in the doctor's office here a while back, and they're playing something on the music system, and I'm not quite sure what it was. I was told that it was modern music, and I actually went up to the girl at the counter, and I said, "Hey, I think something's wrong. I think your radio's playing backwards." Because it was horrible, and she just went, "What?" I said, "What is that?" "Well, that's the latest, greatest." Thank goodness I don't listen to the latest, greatest. I love the noise, though, in my life, honestly. I love how you can ask somebody something and they don't understand you. The other night, for example, we were on our way on a journey. Me, Wally, and Buck. My father bought a tractor, and now, when we buy tractors, they call me the mover. "Can you come get my tractor?" "Yeah, but no, you need to come get it." And my father is very clear about that. So I'm driving to Westminster with my boys in the truck. We're going to get this thing loaded up, take it home to my dad. And Wendy calls, and all I hear in the back seat is a bunch of noise. They're laughing and giggling and carrying on, and I'm not sure what they're talking about. And she says, "Ask Ball," and she calls up and says, "Hey, ask Buck where his baseball cap is." Follow this carefully. I said, "Hold on, I got my little thing." I turned to her, I turned to him, and I said, "Hey, where's your baseball cap at?" Now, we're in the truck, and my son said, in the middle of the noise, he said, "Well, it's in the house, Daddy." "I know it's in the house." And he goes, "Oh, it's on the dining room table." That's noise to me. Answer the question. I just get lost in it. How many people can sit in a room that's extremely noisy and not pay attention to it? Very few of you. So you know what I'm talking about. The constant din, the constant sound, the constant noise, the constant banging, the constant assault on your ears, on your senses. And yet there are those people out there who see certain noises as joyful to them. Now, I've told you this story, I think. I don't know. I don't care. Because it's a story that I love so much, and I think about it all the time. When my daddy was preaching over at Johnstown Church of Brethren in Hedgesville, West Virginia, I was a little boy. And on Sundays, as being a little boy, 7, 8 years old, I became friends with the people in church that had candy in their pockets. Because they were the best kind. "Hey, boy, come here, look at this." Or the ones that gave you a quarter, well, they were top rate. And there was an old fellow there, and his name, appropriately, was Buck. And to this day, I don't know what his real name was. Buck was a big man. I'm a big man. He was taller than me, broad at the shoulders, hands like potato diggers. Big man. Big, strong man. When he would put a butterscotch in his hand, it looked like he had a wart. You know how big they are. That's how big that was. It was big hands. And he'd press his hand with the butterscotch candy, which I love, in my hand. He'd go, "Here, boy." And he'd squeeze his hand around mine, and all you could see was my arm coming out of his hand. He's a big man. You understand me? And every Sunday, he would give me a butterscotch. And on occasion, he would say, "Sit beside of me today, boy." Well, that was great, because he smelled like pipe smoke and wood stove. And he did something that absolutely has burned itself into me. Buck made noise. See, Buck loved hymns. He loved all the old hymns. And he would sit there in that seat, and the minute that hymn would start up, Buck would use that big, powerful voice of his and sing that song as loud and strong and proud as he could. Off key and out of time. You understand where I'm going? We were standing, and he sat. You'd think somebody like that would sit all the way in the back. No, sir. Buck sat right in the middle so everybody could hear him. He didn't sit on. And he, boy, I tell you, when the roll was called up yonder, his favorite song. I know Buck's in heaven now, and I know he can sing now. Or maybe the Lord lets him sing off key, because the Lord loved it too. He didn't sing quietly. He hammered on them songs. When the roll is called yonder. And I would be like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, because people would turn around and look at him. And they would smile, and Buck would just, and he was in it. And I loved it. And so one Sunday, because I knew my father could hear it. One Sunday, I was on my way home with Dad, sitting in the front seat, 1966, Pontiac Star Chief Executive, four-door. Dad had to carry a land yacht license to drive that thing. Mom wasn't with us that Sunday, it was just me and Dad. And I turned to him and I said, what do you think of old Buck singing? And my father, without missing a beat, said, it's something, ain't it? And I thought, yeah. And my dad said, he's making a joyful noise. Oh, he's making a joyful noise. And after that, every chance I got, I sat back there with him. And I even tried to sing off key and sing out of time. And Buck poked me one time. He said, boy, don't you do that. He said, I can't help it, but you got a pretty little voice. Joyful noise. And you know what I found out? The people that sat around him in the church, which as big as Buck was, and there was 80 people going to church there on a Sunday, which meant everybody heard him. Everybody loved it. Nobody cared. Nobody. Because Buck was there to worship his Lord. What does the psalmist writer say? I will worship you loudly. I will give it all I have. I will proclaim your name. And he didn't care how it was. Buck loved the Lord. See, Buck had been a rough cut piece of iron. And he had come to the Lord late in life. But he came to the Lord straightforward. And he would tell you, if Jesus died on a cross loving me, I'm going to do what I can to let the world know how much he did. Amen. That's old Buck. That's a story. And that's all it is. And so this week at work, it's been in my head where the noise is. We had a big meeting at work this week, and some of the high muckety mucks, the suit and ties came down. And they said, we have to pay attention to the noise around us. Because in the noise, you hear the truth. And I sat there for a minute and I went, man, you have a sense of humor. In the noise, we hear the truth. Sometimes we don't hear it because we're not listening. Sometimes the noise is just plain noise. But if we're not listening, we'll never know. Sometimes we'll just never know. Like when somebody's sitting there hammering on me about being a Christian. Now that would make you mad, wouldn't it? Telling you how dumb it is to be at church on Sunday morning and how worthless it is. And, you know, when I get to hell, I'm going to be sitting right beside of you because there ain't no such thing. Most people would get mad, wouldn't you? I did too. And then I started thinking, he's probably crying out for some help. Somebody that miserable and that ugly with that much noise has something to talk to. So I minister to him every chance I get. Do I know if it'll ever change anything? No, I don't. But I'll tell you right now, like the psalmist writer says, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Always. Regardless of how much noise is going on around you, regardless. I was listening to somebody talk about the fact that Buck and Wally went on a camping trip this Friday night, and they camped in the backyard of somebody's house, and the woman mentioned she could not believe how much noise 10 children could make at 12 o'clock at night. You know what I said? Thank you. Because they weren't in my house. I have a swimming pool. I have kids coming to the house all the time. The other night I pulled up in the driveway. There was about 3,000 children in my swimming pool. I mean, seriously, I don't know how they moved around. They was in there like that. I thought, look, sardines. Laughing, giggling, throwing stuff, jumping off the deck on top of each other. just noise, just this loud pound of noise. And I walk in, and the dog is sitting on the front porch looking over at the pool, and she looks up at me and goes. And I thought it was a beautiful thing to hear because they were just there. And I imagine it was beautiful too at the camping. But we get lost. We get lost in it. We forget sometimes that the noise that's around us, while we may not understand it and we may get lost into it, is actually beautiful to someone else. And within it, there is something to listen to. The psalmist writer says, It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. I don't care how you sing. I don't care how badly you play. You have a bad day. I had that song down pat. Just wait a little longer. I can play that song like this. I should have played it like that. But I messed it up. But I don't worry about it. Because he knew. When we try to bring the word of the Lord forward and we go up and talk to somebody, we know that he's behind us no matter how the words come out. Bill Cosby talks about how he was going to ask a girl out on her first date, and his voice was starting to change, but he rehearsed. Hello, sir, I'd like to take out your daughter. Hello, sir, I'd like to take out your daughter. Hello, sir, this is Mr. Cosby. I'd like to take out your daughter. And when he got to the door, and the man swung the door, and he went, hi, my name's Bill Cosby, and I'm here to take your daughter out. But she still went out with him. Husband probably laughing. Father was probably giggling a little bit. I'm glad I'm not the father of daughters, because I wouldn't do well with it. That's not noise I want to hear. But when we share. I know I've told the joke about the church was raising money. Going to raise money, going to sell Bibles. And had a specialist come in. He's going to tell everybody how to raise money by selling Bibles. And he'd get them up there in the church, and they have a class, and everybody gets assigned a section. And old man Johnson, he wants a little section too to sell some Bibles, and nobody wants him to do it. But they give him a little piece of the area and go, you go sell a Bible or two there. And when they come back that day, a month and a half later, all the people got up and the three top earners were recognized in church. Sister Mary Margaret so-and-so down front, she sold 200 Bibles. Right? And Sister Bertha, better than you sitting over there, sold 250 Bibles. You can see them in their bonnets. All looking nice. Old man Johnson sold 1,000 Bibles. The whole church turned around and looked at him. And they said, how'd you do that? He said, well, I ring the door, and this is how it kind of went. They'd come to the door, and he'd say, hello, my name is Bill Johnson, and I want to know if you want to buy a Bible or have me stand here and read it to you. In the noise was the truth. In the noise was the power. In the noise was the joy. You understand? The definition of noise is what? A sound or sounds that is loud, unpleasant, unexpected, or undesired. It's a loud outcry of commotion. The other afternoon, my wife was in the swimming pool, and we've been having some problems with frogs in the swimming pool. And a frog landed on my wife, and she made noise. And I found it very funny. I made noise too. I'm glad she's not here. A loud outcry or commotion. A disturbance. Rumor. Talk. So there's two parts of it. When you're in the noise, when you hear it going on around you, listen. But don't get lost in it. Listen, friend, sometimes it might just be noise, and sometimes there's something there. I routinely yank the mufflers off of everything I own, except for my wife's car and truck. And I'd do that too if I could get away with it. When Denny and I used to drive tractor trailers together, we didn't have exhaust on our trucks. And we'd do everything we could to see how noisy we could get with those things. Because it's a great sound. Boy, you're coming down a hill with 80,000 pounds on, and you flip that jake on, and that old big caterpillar up front, bam! There ain't a man in this room that doesn't go, yeah, that's right. And a woman sitting behind him, beside him, going, oh, golly. But she knows, and he knows. But you listen. The psalmist writer says, going on forward, what does he say? He says, the senseless man does not know. Fools do not understand. That though the wicked springs up like grass and all evildoers flourish, you should probably underline that part of that scripture. Because one of the biggest things I hear in noise all the time is, how come so-and-so down the street that don't darken the door of the church, that cusses like a sailor on shore leave, that does everything wrong, has got a great big house, 50 cars, and all kinds of money? I don't know. But the psalmist writer says, we know the evildoers will flourish, but they will be destroyed. So within that noise is the truth. Within that noise is something to listen to. I want to come back to those kids camping because I didn't tell you everything. They were out there 11 o'clock at night. And the woman telling the story wrote a little piece about it. She said they were out there laughing. One tent for the girls, one tent for the boys. They were about that far apart. I guess that's what you call stereo, right? Two sides of it coming at you full time. And she said she was standing in the room listening, just laughing until tears were rolling down her face. Because the girls were on this side. Well, let me back up. The boys were on this side talking about Minecraft and Legos and video games and everything like that. And the girls were in the next tent talking about how dumb the boys were. And the conversations were mounting and surging up. And the girls were talking about kittens and cats and ducks and chickens and all that kind of stuff. And Beanie Babies. And the boys were over here. And then suddenly the conversations turned. And children started praying for each other. For the safety of their teams, for the safety of their friends, for their mommies, for their daddies. And that girl said the tears of laughter turned into tears of joy because within that noise, she heard the truth. I just read about that story this morning. Buck and Wally were there. You understand where I'm coming from? The psalmist writer is laying it out. Around you is going to be noise. Make your own joyful noise. It may sound like it's bad to someone else, but it's not noise. It's joyful. Anytime you stand up for the Lord and say anything for Him, that is a joyful noise unto the Lord. Anytime someone doesn't understand it, but that you're speaking about Christ, it is joyful. Anytime that you can hold your head up as a Christian and be counted, regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of the sounds, regardless, it's not noise. It's joyful. And that's how we need to be today. That's how we need to be lifted up. That's how we need to talk. Yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I go to church on Sunday morning. Why? Because that's where I need to be. Why do you stay faithful to the Lord with all things? You guys don't have a house yet. Why? Don't know. You gonna stay faithful? Yes. 1 in 15. You understand how much hours we went to practices and then we'd go to games? They won 1 game out of 15. And we sat down on Friday night thinking, well, and then it was amazing. And the boys wanted prayer. And they asked for it again last night. And they wanted it afterwards. And the parents were broke down. And they were glad that we were standing up in front of the world, allowing the Lord to lead us, win, lose, or draw. That's how we are, Christians. We are not afraid of the noise around us. We are not noise. We are joyful. We push it forward. We live like the psalmist writer says, proclaiming, verse 15, the Lord is right. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in Him. And might as well go on to say, I am forgiven of my sins. I am forgiven of my trespasses. I will proclaim His name. I know that Jesus died on the cross. And I will shout it forever. Amen.
Amen.
And that's where it's at. That's joyful noise. And in the words of Andy Griffith, don't you forget it. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We don't know what direction you're going to take us in, and sometimes it seems like we wait forever, and we may start getting noisy. Quiet us so that we can hear, so that we can discern the noise and find what is joyful within the din of it, so that we may proclaim, so that we may lift up, and we may actually be that which lifts someone else up, and they someone else, and they someone else. And like the words of the song says, give us more time. We want to make sure everyone gets in. So let us remember that not all noise is noise, but it can be joyful. We thank you, Father, for your Son Jesus, who died for us. Never going to get tired of saying it. Never going to get tired of repeating it. Never going to get tired of constantly, constantly reminding people. Work within us, Father, and strengthen us that we may know that everything going on around us is for a reason. And let us seek the joy in the noise. With humble hearts, we fall before you, thanking you. Through Jesus Christ, our precious Savior. Amen. If we have that particular need today, prayer bench, wide open. You need some extra prayer, some lifting up. And I will remind you, I need a couple helpers after church. Don't make me come looking for you. And I hope to see you all again at 6 o'clock this evening or a little before.